Welcome to Gila Membris Community Radio's new program, Earth Matters. Earth Matters brings you in-depth coverage of local, state, and national environmental issues. We aim to inform, challenge, engage, and inspire our listeners. Three hosts alternate weekly shows to bring the listener a broad range of topics and expertise on environmental and conservation issues that affect us here in Grant County, around New Mexico, nationally, and globally. This is Allison Civic, Executive Director of Gila Resources Information Project, and I'm your host for today's program. The Gila Resources Information Project, also known as GRIP, is a nonprofit environmental organization that works to promote community health by protecting our environment and natural resources here in southwestern New Mexico. We're going to start off our program with a little overview. Grant County is home to two of the nation's five largest open pit copper mines, the Chino, Cobre, and Tyrone mines, owned and operated by Freeport-McMoRan Copper and Gold, which is the largest publicly traded copper company in the world. These mines are responsible for ongoing groundwater contamination, aquifer depletion, bird deaths, and the destruction of precious riparian areas. Our guest today is Sally Smith, president of the nonprofit environmental organization Gila Resources Information Project, based here in Silver City. She also serves as the organization's director of responsible mining. Sally's worked for more than two decades to raise public awareness of the environmental impacts of mining in our region. She's worked with government regulators and the mining companies themselves to advocate for implementation of industry best practices for mine reclamation and operational permitting at the Chino, Cobre, and Tyrone mines. Sally served on the New Mexico Mining and Minerals Division Director's Advisory Committee and helped develop regulations to implement New Mexico's Mining Act. Sally is joining us today from Santa Fe, where she's been attending the Water Quality Control Commission hearing on the proposed water quality rules for copper mining. Good afternoon, Sally, and welcome to Earth Matters.
Allison, I appreciate being able to speak on these issues. Good afternoon to you.
And thanks to Kyle Johnson here at Gila Membris Community Radio for getting the phone patch to work so we can interview Sally by phone today. So Sally, you're beginning the third week of the WQCC hearing on the proposed water quality rules for copper mining. Can you tell me a little bit more about what these rules are about?
Well, the intention was to create rules specifically for the protection of groundwater at copper mines in New Mexico. Presently, Grant County really has the only copper mines that are operating in the state, but these rules would also apply to new mines like Copper Flat near Hillsboro, which is currently permitting their process. They're not yet actively mining there, and this could set a precedent for other industries in the state as well. The rules were meant to be more prescriptive than the Water Quality Act regulations that govern all discharges that might cause contamination in groundwater.
Okay, and my understanding is that these rules are mandated by the legislature. Did the mining industry want these rules?
After years of court cases that were concerning the authority of the New Mexico Environment Department to tell industry how and where groundwater should be protected, both the dairy and the mining industry lobbied for the rules, which were mandated by the legislative session in 2009. Industry wanted more regulatory certainty. Both industry and the Environment Department wanted to avoid protracted legal battles over interpretation of the regulations as they were written. Also, it's now clear from attending the hearings, the mining industry is pushing for a significant shift from prevention of contamination to containment of contamination.
Okay, so you know, you said a bit that these rules are meant to be more prescriptive and provide more regulatory certainty. Maybe we could talk a little bit more about really what that means. What do you mean when you say more prescriptive? The new proposed rules are meant to be more prescriptive.
Well, the rules are now about 40 pages long, and they actually detail, in many cases, exactly how liner systems, for instance, would be constructed and where points of monitoring would be for contamination, what kind of long-term monitoring is needed. A great deal of it's the application process for mines, new mines. and other issues, details that aren't really in the groundwater regulations as written in general for industry and for other discharges.
So in terms of actual controls, give us a sense of what some of the prescriptions are for, say you want to put in a new tailings pond or some new facility at a mine. When you say prescriptive, do you mean that the rules are going to say exactly what technologies are required for new facilities in a mine site?
Well, they're supposed to be following best management practices. And in terms of the development, we looked at other states and what they require and what is the best management practices available now with technology as it is.
Okay. So, Sally, you served on the Copper Rules Advisory Committee last year in 2012. Can you tell us a bit more about the process to develop the rules? You know, who was on the committee? What process did you follow to develop the draft Copper Rule?
The Copper Rules Advisory Committee was comprised of stakeholders from Freeport-McMoRan, New Mexico Copper Company, a professor from New Mexico Tech, State Mining and Minerals Division, and the Environmental Law Center, and also Amigos Bravos and GRIP. There's also a technical committee, and that was included Freeport and their consultants, Jim Kuipers, who's a mining engineer and GRIP's consultant, and representing also Turner Ranch, the New Mexico Copper Company, Mining and Minerals Division again, BLM, the New Mexico Environment Department consultants and staff. So there were a number of presentations given in the technical committee meetings by industry consultants and much discussion over the course of 8 months and more than 18 meetings. We made successive drafts, which were written by Environment Department with suggestions and advice from the committees. And those drafts we reviewed in the Copper Rules Advisory Committee meetings, correct?
Yeah, and what was the role of the Copper Rule Advisory Committee? What was the intent? Why was that advisory committee put together?
Well, the committees were mandated by the legislation to advise the Environment Department in creating the Copper Rules that would then go before the Water Quality Commission. These are the rules that are before the Water Quality Commission now and that are the subject of the hearing that's taking place in Santa Fe. There were guidelines for the advisory committee, which stated that we were to remain a committee until the rules were adopted, although that did not happen. We were surprisingly thanked and dismissed at the end of the meetings in August, despite what the guidelines said.
Okay, and then so really, this you all were in an advisory role, is that right?
Yes, it was. We were to advise. The technical committee came up with draft language and presented that and the summaries of these presentations. I attended all the meetings except one. The technical committee meetings were advising the advisory board, and the advisory board was we were all cooperating, it seemed, and working together to try to help the Environment Department put together regulations that we all thought were inclusive and of all the details that needed to be covered for both the existing mines that are here and also for new mines anywhere in the state.
Okay. So GRIP is not supporting the rule that's before the WQCC right now. Can you tell us what happened and why GRIP doesn't support the rule? And for that matter, are the other partners in the New Mexico Mining Act Network and even the Attorney General's office, they're not supporting the rule either.
No, that's right. And what happened really was a draft was completed in August that GRIP was willing to support and some of the other stakeholders, all of the stakeholders we thought. And after a final round of comments, another draft was then made available for the public. That draft was radically different than the August draft, and the differences track back almost entirely and almost verbatim to comments in language that were supplied by Freeport MacMoran, which gave the petition, the new petition, a wholly different slant. So GRIP's position is that the rule is now in violation of the State Water Quality Act, and that's also the position of the Attorney General. His office is also participating as a party in the Water Quality Commission hearings. Specifically, the new rules created a system where there's an undefined number of monitoring wells at poorly defined distances from contaminating facilities within the mine, like leach stockpiles, for instance, which would become points of compliance, allowing contamination to exist up gradient of these monitoring wells, say between them, the actual unit which is contaminating and the monitoring wells becomes contaminated. It also eliminated mandatory liners under new waste rock stockpiles and new tailings units, and it eliminated the variance process. And the variances are required by the Water Quality Act and have been included, they were included in the previous drafts for the allowance of alternative methods of prevention of contamination, such as alternatives to liner systems, for instance. And variances are the process where the public has the opportunity to hear what the corporation plans and to make comments, and then the Water Quality Commission makes a final decision based on all the information, and they make a decision that the alternative is either protective or not. So these changes were made and accepted wholesale all by the upper management at the Environment Department, where, as written now, are unacceptable to GRIP and to the Attorney General and to other parties.
Okay, so really this seems like, from what you're saying, using the rules or regulation process to really circumvent the law, to change the state law on how we regulate water quality. And we do that through the Water Quality Act. And it sounds like this rulemaking proceeding before the Water Quality Control Commission really is serving as a way to completely circumvent the law and change how the state is regulating water quality at mine sites. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I think it's fair to say. I think I said this before maybe in a different way, but the new rule represents a shift from pollution by prevention to pollution containment. In other words, there is, we know, already contamination at the mine sites, but additional contamination should be prevented, not just contained. It should be prevented. So the rule, as it's written, allows water quality standards to be exceeded at all the mine units and requires only interceptor systems in some cases for containment. And the new term, the open pit hydraulic containment area in the pit area and the area around it, which is a surface drainage area that drains into the pit, will not have to meet standards. I assume people know this, but under any rules, the pits at the Tyrone and Chino mines, at least, have to be pumped and treated for hundreds of years and possibly in perpetuity.
So, Sally, we'll be right back after this break and continue our interview with Sally Smith, Director of Responsible Mining with the Gila Resources Information Project. Welcome back to Earth Matters. We're here today with our guest, Sally Smith, president of the Gila Resources Information Project, otherwise known as GRIP. And she's also the organization's director of responsible mining. And we've been talking about the new water quality regulation for the copper mining industry that's currently before the state's Water Quality Control Commission. The hearing will begin its third week of testimony tomorrow, and Sally has been monitoring the hearing for GRIP over the last couple weeks, and she'll be testifying either this week or next week. So, Sally, let's talk more about the specifics of the proposed rule. Both GRIP and its partners in the New Mexico Mining Act Network say that the proposed rules are in violation of the State Water Quality Act. Can you tell us a bit more about the details?
Yes, the Water Quality Act requires that all waters of the state that meet certain criteria are protected. And in this case, the regulations as rewritten appear not to be protecting all waters. in many cases because they're allowing these monitoring wells to actually be what this state does not allow, I'll say, points of compliance. We have a different kind of system in New Mexico, which is places of withdrawal for the reasonable foreseeable future and for the present. So those places, it's a kind of a long, convoluted legal story, but those places have certain criteria and need to be protected from contamination. The way the rule is now written, there's this upgradient area between a unit, say a leach pile or a waste rock pile that's acidic, and the monitoring wells. Between there are, in many cases, interceptor wells that are pump back wells. They pump out the contaminated water that is used in processing in the mine site again and recycled. In the case of both interceptor wells and, as I understand it, monitoring wells, it's very dependent on the location of the wells, how successful they are, and how much they capture. So in the case of both, it's possible that, and with this regulation as written now, the details of where these wells are located is not well defined, and are the number of wells. So it's possible for there to be pathways where contamination can escape from between the interceptor wells and also potentially between the monitoring wells.
Okay, so it, I think as you explained before, the major shift here is that mines would be able to pollute under the mine site, pollute groundwater under the mine site, as opposed to prevent pollution. And so, what you're saying is that these points of compliance, these monitoring wells, are the points at which standards must be met. So essentially, the mines could pollute as much as they want. As long as that monitoring well does not pick up pollution, then they're considered to be in compliance with water quality standards. Is that an accurate description? Or?
Yes, I think so. That's right. If you look at the mine sites as they are with the pit, which is not required to meet standards, which is capturing by pumping, this hydraulic containment of groundwater that they've intersected. And then outside of the pit area, there's an area called the surface water drainage area. This is the area that often contains waste rock piles and leach piles. And so that anything that they can drain away from the pit should be drained out, but anything else is draining into the pit, so that's adding more contamination to the pit. And around the pit area is a perimeter, or monitoring wells on the perimeter. It doesn't say how far on the, it doesn't say how many wells would be required around the perimeter of the pit to determine what the water quality is in that area.
So, Sally, the mines already have significant contamination, right, of groundwater underneath the mine site, right?
Absolutely. As the Office of Natural Resource Trustees has said, the combination of the three main mines at Chino, Cobre, and Tyrone have about 20,000 acres of contamination under the mine site, and in some cases in plumes that flow out of the mine site. So, yes, there's contamination now, and there are monitoring wells now, and there are some, and of course there are interceptor systems as well that attempt to pump that pollution water back into the process pollution system. And I think it's important that people know that at this point, these leach piles, which are crushed ore, which are being flushed out with sulfuric acid, are not lined. And that concentrated copper that the sulfuric acid precipitates out of those piles is collected at the toe of those piles, but in trenches, But none of this is now lined. And so the state of the art really now is to install these liners. And it's Freeport is arguing that it's not always necessary, that they can use these interceptor wells instead of the liners, and that they can use those with waste rock piles. They will be required to line stockpiles. It's not possible, really, to line existing stockpiles without moving them, and existing tailings piles at this point at both Chino and Tyrone and Cobre don't have liners under them. But the new state of the art and many states require liners under tailings piles, and it can be done.
So. Is it fair to say that the requirement to install liners under these different units or facilities of the mine site, that was something that was included in the August draft of the rule, but then was taken out in the version of the rule that went public in September. Is that right?
That's right. That and the requirement for variances and these points of compliance, monitoring wells, which they don't call points of compliance, but which function in that fashion, those are changes that were made at the last minute. Those were the changes that were made by somewhere in upper management at the Environment Department using the language provided by Freeport-McMoRan, and that someone or some ones at the Environment Department is still an unknown to all the parties. They have not been willing to divulge who did make the changes or made the decision to make the changes there.
Right, and it's very interesting to me that no staff are testifying in the hearing before the Water Quality Control Commission. So no staff really are willing to stand up and testify to the draft or the rule that's before the Water Quality Control Commission. Is that right? My understanding is there's an industry consultant who is testifying on behalf of the Environment Department.
Yes, in fact, there's no one who participated in the Copper Rule Advisory Committee and the Technical Committee from the Environment Department who is testifying for the Environment Department. Some of those people are no longer with the Environment Department, and as you say, the technical staff is apparently unwilling to support the rule as it's written, and the consultant for the Environment Department who actually wrote the rules and put them together with the help of the technical staff is someone who was the head of water quality, Bill Olson. He was worked at the department for years and was on the Mining Commission, and he is also opposing these rules as they are now written. So this is what I call the blatant switcheroo. Something happened, and these rules were altered at the last minute, and the Environment Department is unwilling to say who did that. And the person who did testify from the Environment Department is new at his job, and really knew very little about any of this, and has never had any experience in permitting mines previously. The consultant who actually has supported the rules for the Environment Department is Adrian Brown. He's a consultant for industry and often in these position of testifying. So he is actually defending the rules for the Environment Department, not really anyone else.
So even though he himself did not participate in the development of the rule, he was not part of the process.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He's obviously read them, but he did not participate. He was not a consultant. We never saw him there at the advisory meetings.
Well, it seems like this rule that's before the Water Quality Control Commission, as it's currently written, so different from the August staff version, is really going to result in more pollution. I mean, we already have pollution at our three Grant County copper mines, but it seems like this rule is going to result in even more pollution than what we've already seen. And Sally, what does this mean for the future? Because we're already going to be living with this the existing pollution for hundreds of years. What does this mean to add to that pollutant loading?
Well, it definitely means that our aquifers are under attack, in my opinion, and that they're put into a very risky situation of technology is always the hope of industry, that somehow technology will come along and help clean up these kinds of contaminated aquifers, but that's really not proven true. So it's usually, and I think certainly reclamation, as has proved true at Tyrone, does help, which was something that Freeport bought much earlier in Grip's career. The 3 feet of cover that's going on and the regrading that's happening at Tyrone is showing an improvement in water quality in some areas. But overall, I think it means that our aquifers will be pumped for, you know, possibly in perpetuity, that water will have to be treated, that there will be a lot of loss to evaporation, and that it's very possible that we won't have clean water that we might need in Grant County.
So really we need to pump and treat the contaminated water from within the pit, say at Tyrone. We need to pump and treat that water in perpetuity in order to contain the contamination there on the mine site, so that contaminated water doesn't flow off the mine site. Is that right?
That's right. And in the testimony, which is quite detailed and technical in many cases, even Freeport consultants have said that this cone of depression is created by pumping, which draws water into this pumping area, into the pit, could expand over time also. And in that case, monitoring wells would have to be moved out. I think in the case of Tyrone, that the monitoring wells would be at the perimeter of the pit area, and the surface drainage area would be about 3 miles by 3 miles. If that gives you a sense of kind of how large these areas of containment will have to be. And surrounding all that are more stockpiles and waste piles and leach piles that you see when you look at the mine site. Those also have their own interceptor wells, which are constantly pumping the aquifer and pumping the water back. And then in the case of Tyrone, the tailings are now closed and there are only impoundments left. But in the case of Chino, we have that Pond 7, which is, I think, about 1,600 acres of process water that's out there on that pond evaporating and some of it being pumped back. All of that has a potential to contaminate the aquifer, all of it.
Well, Sally, we'll be right back after this break and continue our interview with Sally Smith, Director of Responsible Mining with the Gila Resources Information Project, and we'll continue discussing the proposed water quality rules for the copper mining industry here in New Mexico. Welcome back to Earth Matters. We're here today with our guest, Sally Smith, president of the Gila Resources Information Project, a.k.a. GRIP, and the organization's director of responsible mining. And we've been talking about the new water quality regulation for the copper mining industry that's currently before the state's Water Quality Control Commission up in Santa Fe. And the hearing will begin its third week of testimony tomorrow. And Sally is up there at the roundhouse for these hearings and giving us a sense of what's been going on and what's to come. So, Sally, we've heard a lot about the fact that the mining company, Freeport-McMoRan, can't afford to prevent pollution. And, you know, I really feel like this rule is really allowing the company to transfer the cost of cleanup to the public sector, right? The taxpayer. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, let me talk a little about financial assurance. They, you know, Freeport has put up what sounds like a substantial amount of financial assurance in the event that a third-party contractor has to come in and do cleanup, for instance, if Freeport were to go to bankrupt. But actually, it's mostly third-party guarantee, which is not actual cash. And so there would be the question of also the collateral that they put up, some of which is the properties. That certainly could transfer the debt onto the communities, the citizens of the state, as well as the longer-term issues of aquifer pollution and how that might be a burden on the community. It might be, you know, this pumping in perpetuity is a huge issue, as well as not just the pumping of the pit. It could end up being pumping of in areas outside of the tailings and plumes that might continue to go into areas outside of the mine site.
So really, the more pollution that we allow the company to put into our groundwater, that is more that ultimately, in the end, will need to be cleaned up if we ever want to use those groundwater resources, recognizing the fact that it's not necessarily going to be us in our lifetimes, but we're talking about future generations, 3, 4, 5 generations out. Is that true?
Yes, I think that's, you know, it's interesting during the hearings that to hear that and see the reaction of the commissioners at times when they're trying to grasp kind of the magnitude of the mines that we have in Grant County, just what that does mean for future generations. We're such a short-sighted society, in my opinion. It's hard to imagine, you know, pumping even for 100 years, which the companies are now bonded for, that's all maintained. And another factor is that in the event that they should go bankrupt, and this has happened in other states, and just walk away, there have to be contingency plans where the state contractor, someone who has a knowledge of how to operate a huge and complex system like a mine site, would have to come in and keep the pumps running and keep the water balance going and keep all the interceptor wells maintained and running. So it's so complex and so huge, and the time frame is so distant. It's a very hard to think about, all of which, in my mind, makes these rules so completely important in their detail and how prescriptive they are.
Right. I mean, it's hard for us to really predict what is going to happen in the future, and to allow mines to use our groundwater as sort of a dumping ground just flies in the face of sort of common sense. I mean, we don't know what will happen in the future. We don't know if the company will be around, if there'll be resources to continue to pump and treat. And I think what we've heard in various venues is it would take 40 to 50 years for the Tyrone pit to fill up with water, and then for that contaminated water to start to flow out from the mine site. So that's not really very much time. And it's a scary thought that unless that pumping and treating is maintained, that's the only way to guarantee that that contamination is contained on site.
That's right. Like I say, the complexity of it is kind of mind-boggling, and as such, I think that these rules need to be conservative and protective, which is exactly the way they are not at this point pointed. And I want a chance to say, even right now, that I hope people will speak up about this issue at the May 3rd public hearing that will happen at the Global Resource Center at 4 o'clock. To 7 o'clock, because some of the commissioners at least will be there, and all of them will have the transcripts of that hearing. It's very important that they understand that the people of Grant County are concerned about long-term protection of our aquifers and our public waters. All of these are public waters. It's the responsibility of the Environment Department and the Water Quality Commission to protect these waters for the safety and health of the people. We want to very strongly convince them that that is their responsibility and that that's what we expect them to do.
Right. So, for people who don't know how groundwater is regulated, the groundwater in New Mexico is the property of the public. The New Mexico Environment Department is responsible for protecting water quality, and the mine company, Freeport-McMoRan, has water rights, so it has the right to use water for beneficial use, but it doesn't have the right to contaminate water above water quality standards. Water is a public good. It belongs to all of us, and it does not belong to the mining company. So, Sally, we're hearing a lot from the New Mexico Mining Association in Freeport-McMoRan that these rules are needed for financial certainty, or else the mines are going to leave New Mexico. The Mining Association has put together a pretty glitzy fancy website with videos and making their arguments. How do you respond to this? Is this is the copper rule? If they get what they want in the copper rule, that means they stay. If they don't get what they want, they're going to leave New Mexico. I mean, what do you think about this?
Well, you know, the mines have long whined that the cost of regulation in the state will harm their production. In the case of Freeport, we're talking about a company that nets billions of dollars. And the truth is really that global copper prices and local reserves are what dictate if and when the corporation shuts down, as it has in the past. And we've seen it shut down and open up again when the price of copper rises. It's not responsibility for protecting and mitigating our aquifers and the cost of that that controls when the company shuts down or slows down. It's the price of copper, really. And Freeport does have some uncertainties that have been caused by recent corporate decisions they've made and the current market. And in particular, they've had unrest and violence at their huge Grasberg mine that's in Papua New Guinea and Indonesia that have been very costly. They've had shutdowns and they have a great deal of security issues there. So those kinds of risk factors are much more of a risk to their profit margin and their viability than the cost of doing business in New Mexico. And that doesn't mean that they're not throwing millions of dollars into trying to subvert the Water Quality Act. I can assure you they are. They have a bevy of lawyers that attended these advisory meetings and also are now attending the hearings. They have numerous consultants who don't come cheap who are there to testify. They have a staff of employees in Santa Fe now and for the duration of these hearings that are trying to, you know, making the attempt to roll back these rules. Even though it's true that our Water Quality Act is one of the best in the country, this rule related to the copper mines is circumventing the law, and this could be a very significant step backward for how we regulate water quality in the state. So it seems, in terms of the process, GRIP had already made a legal motion to remand this process back to the Environment Department for rewriting and to get it right. And it seems very likely, almost inevitable, that the stakeholders, including the Attorney General, will seek a higher court appeal if this petition is adopted as it's written now. And if it's not, it seems very likely that Freeport-McMoRan, at least, and the Mining Association, probably in conjunction with them, will also seek a remedy in a higher court.
So one of the other concerns that that GRIP has is sort of the domino effect, the precedent that this rule would set if it were to be approved by the Water Quality Control Commission. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Well, it could easily set a precedent in the state for other industries. And that precedent would be the same idea of this point of compliance, which originally Freeport, or Phelps Dodge before them, I'll say, had in appeals, had wanted to have the point of compliance really at their permit boundaries, which in the case of Chino and Tyrone are thousands of acres, huge permit areas. And I think in some cases that's true in other states, that they have a mixing zone where they can mix clean water with contaminated water until they meet standards at their perimeters. That's not something New Mexico has ever had, and not something that would be advisable for a state like ours, especially a state like ours with such limited water resources. In a time of drought. But other industries that could be affected, I have a list of other industries. There's approximately 900 facilities that are regulated with discharge permits in the state by the Environment Department, and that it could include other kinds of mines like molybdenum or uranium mines. Certainly the dairies who were working with the mining industry to get these new rules into legislation. And then there's municipal water treatment plants, the wastewater treatment plants, industrial facilities really of all kinds, power plants, Los Alamos, WIP, oil refineries, the natural gas processing plants, natural gas compressor stations, oil field services, and brine wells. There's just a long list of, potential other industries that might want to jump on this and also be able to move their compliance out to these monitoring wells and have this upgradient contamination.
So Sally, we'll be right back after this break and continue our interview with Sally Smith, Director of Responsible Mining with the Gila Resources Information Project. Welcome back to Earth Matters. We're here today with our guest, Sally Smith, president of the Gila Resources Information Project, otherwise known as GRIP. And she's also the organization's director of responsible mining. We've been talking about the new water quality regulation for the copper mining industry that's currently before the Water Quality Control Commission in Santa Fe. And the hearing's going to begin its third week of testimony tomorrow. And Sally has been tracking the hearing and reporting back to us here today. And Sally, thank you for joining us on the phone from Santa Fe. And so, what is GRIP's position? What is GRIP and its partners, Amigos Bravos and the New Mexico Environmental Law Center, what do they think should happen with this proposed rule before the Water Quality Control Commission? What do they want to see?
Well, what we are asking for is for the commission to deny this permit as written and send it back to the Environment Department for rewriting to assure that it meets Water Quality Act requirements and is not in violation. So ideally, that's what happened. It's not expected to be what happens, I'm sorry, because of political pressure. Hard to know. A lot of the Water Quality Commission or Martinez appointees, but that would be really anything else will be a protracted legal court of appeals or possibly even Supreme Court kind of actions. So GRIP would just really like to see them send it back to the Environment Department and for the Environment Department to act responsibly and take seriously what their job is to protect our groundwater.
And so this would be to change those areas of the rule as currently written and change it back to requiring pollution prevention as opposed to allowing mining companies to pollute groundwater as
absolutely,
the rule
yes.
is currently
yes.
written. Okay. So good. You mentioned previously that there's going to be a public hearing or a public comment period here in Silver City. Can you tell us more? The WQCC is actually coming here to hear from people directly impacted by the mines here in Grant County.
Yes, they're going to be here. Some of the commission and the hearing officer will be here on May 3rd from 4 to 7. And that will be at the Global Resource Center at Western New Mexico University. The public is invited and encouraged to come and speak at that session. It will be a chance to say what you want to see in terms of protection of our water quality locally and protection of water quality all the way across the state. That's an important thing to know, not just for our mines, but for also for any potential new mines. And I say it's critically important that we let them know how we feel about this for not just the present, but for the future. And I'd like to say that while we appreciate the benefits of mining to our community, mining operations need to be held accountable for the damages to our natural resources. And we all know that they have derived huge profits from our local natural resources, and it's only right and fair that they do everything that's required and needed to clean up the pollution that they leave behind and not leave it behind. So I would urge people to go to the GRIP website, which is www.gilaresources.info, and check out our fact sheets and the postings that we have about what's going on at the hearings. The hearings are actually available at the Water Quality Commission website, and actually you can go there and see webcast of the actual hearings if you have patience and can follow the process. It's interesting to see who the cast players are in the hearings, and that is available. It may even be available after the hearings are over, but right now I think it's live.
Sally, the website for that is www.nmenv.state.nm.us/WQCC, and there's a link right at the top. It will be reposted tomorrow when the hearing starts up again out of room 307 in the roundhouse. And this is the same webcasting that you can watch directly from your computer when the legislative session is going on. You can hear all the different legislative committees conducting their business throughout the session. This WQCC hearing on the proposed water quality rule for copper mining is going on in room 307, and you can directly link into that proceeding from the WQCC website, as Sally says. And the other thing, Sally, people can sign up for GRIP's email list too, is that right? And get more frequent postings. GRIP also has a Twitter account and Facebook too, for people who want more real-time information.
Yes, they're all available. I think I believe even the link to the Water Quality Commission, which is quite long, is available on the GRIP website. And I encourage people to go there and to join as a member of GRIP and to get our email blasts, which are keep you up to date on what's going on, and to come to GRIP events.
Okay. And Sally, can you tell us one more time the date and time for the public meeting on the proposed rule? And also, I have a question if that's the proceeding is going to be run essentially like it was last September in terms of people getting up to the podium and just making a 3 to 5 minute statement. How is that going to run? Do you know?
I believe that's true. Usually, generally, 3 to 5 minutes. The hearing officer is not entirely strict about that. It will be at the Global Resource Center at Western, May 3rd, from 4 to 7 o'clock. I encourage people to go at 4. In any case, whenever time you can get there, if you're working, and to make a statement. This, it can be short or long. It can be detailed or not. It can be why you think that the regulations as written are not protective of our groundwater and why they should be, or just how important protecting our groundwater in Grant County area is.
And Sally,
to you and to the future.
And Sally, for those people who can't make it to the meeting, they can also submit comments in writing. Is that right?
That's right. And to date, the deadline for those is May 3rd at about 6 o'clock. But it looks very likely that these hearings will be extended, and I'm hoping, and we'll ask the hearing officer tomorrow, if also the comment period could be extended. But I urge people to get their comments in soon. And those are on the website, on the water quality website. There's a place to send those. I think they can be sent by email, and also
by mail.
Number to call the commission secretary and manager if you want to come to Santa Fe and make public comment. That can be arranged too. You could call the GRIP office if you're going to be in Santa Fe and you'd like to come by the hearings and make public comment. The hearing officer is very agreeable to setting aside time for the public to speak, and I think it's very good for the commission to hear local people talking about how important this is. So if you're in Santa Fe and you want time, or just come by room 307 at the roundhouse, and the hearing officer will make a time for you to speak.
Okay, so for those of you who want more information on how to submit written comments to the WQCC on the Copper Rule, go to GRIP's website at www.healaresources.info. And that's it for our show today. Thank you, Sally, for speaking with us today and telling us more about the Copper Rule. And thank you to our listeners for joining us for today's issue of Earth Matters. And we hope you'll tune in next week for another show here on Gila Membris Community Radio.